or be held.
Blog Talk Radio.
Express way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Amen. And I'm telling you what, the longer I live, the more that song's true in my life. I would rather have Jesus than anything in this world. Amen. It's funny. Not really funny. It's actually kind of sad, but you grow up in this world thinking it holds so much to offer. And boy, people want to get out and see the world. And, I mean, it is a beautiful place. Don't get me wrong. There are many beautiful things to see in this world. But boy, man has uglied it up, hasn't he? Amen. And I tell you, the older I get, the further I go, the more I get homesick for heaven. I didn't appreciate that when I was younger, but the older I get, the more I get homesick to be with the Lord, the more I get homesick to see those who've gone on before me. And so I'm sure thankful that this isn't all there is. Amen. What a letdown that would be, wouldn't it? Amen. It'd be a big letdown if this world was all we had to look forward to. But thank God we've got a home on high in heaven waiting on us. Amen. Well, I don't have time to backtrack everything we've looked at on this matter of prayer. Amen. But we're gonna close out this morning and on this one, and we'll move on to another segment of the Christian life. But remembering that the prayer is a secret. It's a secret power that the lost world does not understand and does not, there's no way they can comprehend it. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Neither can he learn them or know them because they're spiritually discerned. You have to have the Spirit of God before you're going to understand spiritual matters. And that's not to say a lost man can't pray. A lost man can certainly pray. It doesn't mean he's going to get his prayers answered, but a lost man can pray. There have been a lot of lost people that have prayed to God and said, God, help me. They've lost Catholics this morning praying like crazy. Amen. But it ain't going to do them no good if they ain't got Jesus. Amen. I suspect there's Mormons over there praying not the same Jesus we're talking about, but they're, because theirs is the brother of the devil. Amen. That's what they believe at the Mormon outfit over there. But anyway, thank God we've got the right one. Amen. We got the right book. We've got the right Jesus. Amen. And thank God our God answers prayers. He loves to answer prayers. Last week, y'all remember what we talked about? Anybody? I can preach the same message. Nobody remembers what I talked about. Amen. Let's give y'all a rerun. Lonnie, just run last week, and I'm going to sit down. Amen. No. We talked last Sunday about praying for anything and everything. I'm going to get this microphone set in a minute. There we go. We need to band-aid it right there. You know, stay put. But anyway, we talked about asking for anything and everything last Sunday. And y'all remember why God invites us to ask for anything and everything? Primarily, to put us in his throne room. Even if it's something he's not going to give you for a long, long time, or even if it's not something you have faith to pray for, God still invites you to come on in here and talk to me. God wants you in his presence. God wants to spend time with you, and God also wants to keep you away from temptation to sin. But I was joking, Lonnie, about the Band-Aid, by the way. So you got to watch Lonnie. You ask for something, you'll have it. Amen. He's not good as God, amen. But I mean, you ask him for something, he'll find a way, amen. So praise God for that. But anyway, but this morning I want to talk on the subject of praying for big stuff. Praying for big stuff. Amen. I want to stretch your imagination out a little bit and get you to understand that God, get this, you would think God didn't want you asking for big stuff all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not true. God wants his children to pray for big stuff. Amen? Now, let's look at some places in the Word of God, and we'll get into this message. And you pray for me. I'm feeling under the weather this morning. I'm not at my best at all, but I'm feeling kind of run down. But anyway, pray for me that God will give me power and give me his strength and speak through me this morning. Psalm 81, verse 10. We're going to look at that one and maybe one more, and then we'll pray and we'll get through the rest of it. Psalm 81, if you would. Psalm 81, verse 10. I'll give you just a moment to find that. I went and checked the air conditioner just a minute ago while Brother James was praying, and we did it again. We had the cool on over here and the heat on over here, so I don't know what's wrong with us, but we keep flipping the wrong ones on. Roger said we were going to have a tornado down the aisle last week. We had heat on one side, cool on the other. We had an upper level disturbance anyway up here in the choir loft. So, Psalm 81 and verse 10. If you found it, say amen. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Read that last part with me, that second half of that verse. Ready? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. God wants us to pray for big stuff. Amen. Jeremiah, can you find Jeremiah? Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Just flip past Psalms and you'll find it. It's over there. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Again, give you just a moment to find that. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. I'll give just a second, let the pages stop flipping, and then we'll read that together and we'll pray. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. All right. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I want to emphasize that part right there where he says great and mighty things. That's not small stuff. That's big stuff. Amen. Great and mighty things. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us over these next few moments. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would fill this preacher, absolutely control me and use me for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus. I just pray I want to lift you up this morning, Lord, and elevate you and glorify you, and Lord, just praise your name, and Lord, excite and comfort your people at the same time with the possibilities that are out there if we'll just pray. Oh, Lord, we need you, and we need you in every facet of our life. Lord, there's nothing that's too hard for you. There's nothing that you can't do. And Lord, if we would just turn it all over to you, like we talked about last week, if we just surrender ourselves to you in this matter of praying, if we just be a constant prayer, Lord, to you, and just constantly lift up our needs to you, Lord, we'd get so much done. We'd accomplish so much, and we'd have such a strong relationship with thee. And Father, that's my prayer this morning, that your people, your saints, would get strong. Lord, that we'd be prayer warriors, that we'd be valiant for truth. Lord, that we'd be used mightily of thee in these last days of this old world. Lord God, please strengthen your people for the times that come ahead. We ask it now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Two more verses I'm going to read to you very quickly. I tell you what, you can go ahead and turn there. We'll look at these together. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Again, you would think, it would seem like God wouldn't want us praying big prayers all the time because, I mean, you know, it kind of seemed like, I guess I get kind of feeling like, man, I'm getting greedy. I'm asking for too much. You know, that's a human, you have to get human nature out of the equation. We're not talking about natural things. We're talking about supernatural things. And we're talking about Almighty God who's able to do all things. Amen? All right. So let's look at what this says in Romans 8:32. Now listen to this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? God gave us his only begotten son. He sent him with the purpose of him dying a sacrificial death to pay our sin debt. He gave his only begotten son. That's the most expensive prized possession God had, right? The most precious and dear thing to him that ever could be is his only begotten son. Everything after that is small potatoes. Don't you agree? Amen? So really and truly, if you've asked him to allow Jesus' blood to wash your sins clean and wash them away so that you can be righteous and pure in God's sight, amen, and you can have eternal life, beyond that, everything else is small in comparison. So whatever, listen, I just want to set the stage for you. Whatever your burdens are this morning, whatever the thing is in your life that you need to pray about and ask God to either deliver you from or ask God to provide for you, understand something. That ain't nothing compared to what Jesus did for you. That's nothing. So listen, get this through our head. Though we call this big stuff or big prayers, it's nothing compared to the prayer when you ask Christ to be your Savior. Amen? But still, he said, how shall he not with him? God's already given us his best. So how shall he not also give us all things? Now, Isaiah 59:1. If you want to turn there, I'll give you just a second to find that. If not, I'm going to go ahead and read it. But God has given us, God wants to give us what we need. Amen? We've covered that in the last few sermons, amen, that God has told us the desires of our heart. He said, what things soever you desire. All right? So it comes down to, well, will he give us all these things? Well, then we look at Isaiah 59:1 and we read these words. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. That means God's not weak. And he says, neither his ear heavy, his ear ain't stopped up, in other words, where he can't hear you. That were his hand not shortened, that means God doesn't have a whip palsied hand. He's unable to do things for you. And he ain't stopped, his ear ain't stopped where he can't hear your prayers. Amen? Understand that the problem is not on God's end. God is abundantly able to give us the things that we ask for. God has promised us the things that we, if we just ask for these things, that he would give them to us. Jesus challenges people over and over and over to pray for more things than they've ever prayed for before. You just don't, if I could just get it across to you this morning, how much God wants you to ask him for things. How much God wants to give you these things. Listen, again, when I start preaching like this, I have to tell myself, hey, you're not preaching some prosperity message, okay? I'm not trying to say, hey, let's go get rich on God. Let's just get everything in the world. That's not what I'm saying. God wants to be your provider. He wants to be a father to you. Understand that. God wants to take care of you. Let me tell you what God wants to do. God wants to glorify his son through you. That's what he really wants to do. God wants to magnify Jesus through you. And so in order to magnify and glorify his son Jesus through you, God knows you can't do it on your own. You need things from him. And God says, hey, I've got everything that you need. Okay? It's as if a man got hired for a job, and he's asked to do all a myriad of tasks, and the boss says, hey, I've got every tool here you need. If you need a saw, come get it. Okay? If you need a jackhammer, come get it. If you need a concrete saw, come get it. I've got everything you need here in my tool shed. All you got to do is come get it. It's available. Hey, you come get it. All you got to do is ask, I'll let you have it. Hey, you like working for somebody like that. Man, they got everything you need. You ain't got to run all over town. Just go to them and get it, amen. Listen, I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has all things in his power. And he's able, amen. So, let's get it. Excuse me. Let's get into this message this morning, amen. Number one, God asks us to pray for big things. God asks us to, and he even commands us to. Amen? He commands us to. We read it just a minute ago, but in Psalms 81:10, listen to what it says. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I want you to notice there what all he said. God started off that verse, listen to me. He offered up his credentials. First thing God did, God came to him and offered his credentials up. He said, look, you need some help? I'm here. I'm the God. Hey, listen, I'm the Lord thy God that delivered thee out of Egypt. Again, let's remember what all was involved in that. Let's remember when Moses showed up and said, let my people go. It wasn't Moses that did anything. All Moses did was be obedient and speak words. It was God. Hey, it was God that rained down hail and killed their cattle. It was God that turned the Nile River to blood. It was God that sent them the pestilence. It was God that sent them the frogs. It was God that sent them the death angel. Amen. It was God who did all these things. Amen. Hey, it was God who allowed them to spoil the Egyptians. It was God that parted the Red Sea. It was God that allowed them to go across on dry ground. It was God that closed up that sea on top of the armies of Egypt. Amen. It was God that allowed a rock to pour water out and give enough water for all of those Hebrew children out in the wilderness. Amen. It was God that rained down manna from heaven. It was God that provided a cloud to cover them and shield them by day and a fire to give them light by night. It was God. And God says, listen, I want you to look at my resume here and remember that I'm able. And he says, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. Ask me for big things. I've done big things. I can do big things. Ask me. In Malachi 3:6, he says this. He says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. I change not. Hallelujah. Hey, what is he trying to remind us of? If I was able to do all those other things, guess what? I hadn't changed a bit. I'm still able. Amen. You know, that's the great thing about God. He's not like man. Hey, listen. I'm not trying to quote Toby Keith, but I ain't as good as I once was. Amen. I can't do everything I used to could do as what the best way that I could do them before. I'm not nearly as strong as I was when I was in my 20s. I probably know how to do things better now than I did in my 20s, but I'm not quite as strong as I was then. But you know what? God don't age. God doesn't get where he can't do something. Amen. Listen, so you can't say this. Listen, you can't say, well, I know God did it back then, but it's just a different day now. That's the way a lot of people think. That was back in the Bible times. That was back in the Old Testament. God just don't do stuff like that. Now, it's just a different day now. Now, wait a minute. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, back then when he did it, today and forever. What a letdown to get to heaven and find out Jesus wasn't as strong as he was back then. I mean, I'm going to tell you, that ain't going to happen. Amen? He don't change. Amen? Listen, what is he trying to tell us? He's saying, listen, I don't change. I'm the same. I brought you out of Egypt. Hey, listen, open your mouth and let me fill your mouth. Let me give you the things you need. Ask for big things. We read over in James 4:2, we read that verse over and over and over as we've been studying prayer. What does it say? You have not because you ask not. You know what you could say? You could rephrase that a little bit and say this. You get little bites because you take little bites. That's why you get a little bite. Hey, listen, we get little answers to prayers because we only pray for little things.
Amen. If we'd open our mouth and say, God, I need you to do this, and it's big, and Lord, I know it's big, but I know you can. Oh, we see God do some big things. Open your mouth wide, God says, and let me fill it. Listen, God wants us to call on him so he can give us great and mighty things. We read that just a minute ago, Jeremiah 3:3. Call unto me, and I will, I like that, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, things you ain't never seen, things you ain't never dreamed of. I can do it. Listen, big prayers are an important thing in a time of great need. A child of God should be used to asking for and getting bigger things all the time. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we ought to have been asking God for things all along. And the further we go, we ought to have faith to ask for bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The more you learn to trust God, amen. The more that you get excited about God giving you things, amen, and the more you feel free to ask for more things, amen. I mean, I hear answered prayers from my friends across this country every single day. I mean, every single day I'm hearing, almost every day, I hear of God doing something great for somebody. Amen? I mean, he does, and people do give him praise, and they do give him glory, and that's what he wants is glory. And that's what he deserves, is glory. And the bigger thing you ask him for, the bigger thing he answers, the bigger praise you have. So right there's a good reason to ask him for big things. I said big prayers are important in a time of great need. Let me give you an example. If you want to, turn in your Bible to Jeremiah 32, and I'll be telling you about this while you're turning there. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah finds himself in a time of great need. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Jerusalem is about to be overtaken by Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to understand the armies that Nebuchadnezzar sent to Jerusalem, they had surrounded the city. They had taken and I don't know what you call them things. I'd call it a ladder, but whatever thing, they leaned up against the wall of Jerusalem, and they started climbing up those things to go over the walls and invade the city. I mean, they'd already throwed those things up against the wall, and here they are coming up it. And Jeremiah stands in the middle of all that, and he cries out, and he said in verse 17, "Oh, Lord God! Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee." He was calling on God to rescue Jerusalem from that invasion. There's nothing too hard for thee. Now I'm going to show you something. He was praying a pretty big prayer, wasn't he? All right? But I want you to know something. Look down at verse 26. They're invading. They are coming in and taking over Jerusalem. They are sacking the city of Jerusalem. "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Were they in a situation that God was unable to give them victory? No. Because let's remember, not only did the children of Israel go over the Red Sea, or go through the Red Sea on dry ground, not only did they make it to the Promised Land, but guess what happened when they got in the Promised Land? I mean, they marched around Jericho 7 times, and what happened to that? Walls fell down flat. Jeremiah stands in the city of Jerusalem and cries out, "Oh Lord, our Lord God, he said, "Behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power. Lord, you made all this. There's nothing too hard for thee. Surely, God, you can stop this invading army." And God says, "Look, is there anything too hard for me?" Now, that didn't stop the armies from invading and taking Jerusalem. You know what happened? That wasn't too big of a prayer for God. But listen to me. The reason why God allowed Jerusalem to fall in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, it wasn't that he couldn't save it. It was because of their sin and their unbelief. He could have saved it. But here's the thing. They were unrepentant. They wouldn't call on him for help. Yeah, Jeremiah is, but the rest of them were wicked, and they weren't going to call on him. And can I say to you this morning, America is going to fall because of her own wickedness and her own sin and because of a lack of prayers and a lack of faith among God's people in America. If more people in America prayed for God to save America, God might spare her. But there's not enough of us that care, I fear. I'm here to tell you, though, God wants us to pray for great and mighty things. He could have done it, amen, and would have done it had they turned their hearts to him. He said, nothing's impossible for me. Is anything too hard for me? Of course not. I can do it, amen. And what I want to, that's the next thing I want to say to you. Nothing is impossible for those who pray in faith. Matthew 17, verse 20. Nothing's impossible if you pray believing. That's the key to it. Pray and believe him. I mean, I can ask a lot of people for things I won't get. You know, I mean, but when I ask God for something, if I don't believe I'm going to get it, God's not going to answer me. Amen? But if I come believing, he says that he will. Now listen, Matthew 17, 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence into yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now I've read that verse the last 3 weeks probably while I've been preaching. And I made the comment last Sunday when I was preaching. I suppose if, I said, I don't know anybody that's needed a mountain moved. But I suppose if somebody needed a mountain moved bad enough, God would answer prayer and do that. Well, it's funny that I should say that last Sunday, because while I was preaching that sermon last Sunday, there was a fellow that listens to our sermons by way of the internet by the name of Aaron David, who's a friend of mine on Facebook, and he wrote to me Sunday night, and he wrote me this story, and I listened to him, I'll tell you what he said. He said, there's a Christian lady in New Mexico. She's a Mescalero Indian up in the Ruidoso Mountains. He said, well, she is very poor and inherited a little piece of property up there in those mountains. She got a trailer and planned on living off the land. The problem was that where her land was that she inherited, the sun never hit her property until high noon. And it didn't stay very long because of the mountains. So she got very little sunlight, and she couldn't grow a garden. So here she was stuck, and she was praying constantly for 5 years, living on very little substance. She was praying, Lord, please move this mountain. For 5 years. So that it won't block the sun, so I can raise a garden, so I won't starve to death. Lord, move the mountain. She was starving, and her friends and family wanted her to move back to the reservation where she'd be taken care of, but she stayed there, and she prayed. 5 years she prayed, never giving up, never doubting that God would move that mountain. Well, guess what happened? The power company came through there, and they decided they were going to run some new lines through the area, and guess what they done? They sheared off the top of that mountain to run power lines, and the lady had sunlight. Hey, God moved the mountain, and he did. I said that, and God showed me he done it before. Amen? Listen to me. That was God showing me. He used Brother Aaron David to show me he has moved mountains before. Nothing is impossible. Understand that. You have to have faith. You have to believe and trust God. Jesus challenges us. Pray for bigger things. He does. In Mark 9, 22 and 23, you've heard the story. The man came, brought his lunatic son to Jesus. You know the story. It oftentimes it cast him in the fire. It oftentimes threw him in the water, tried to drown him. And he brought him to him, and he said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hey, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. See, God, here's the thing. God wants you to have an ever-growing faith. Your faith shouldn't just get to one point and stop. We forget all the time that we're not supposed to ever get to the point where we settle as Christians. We don't ever get grown. It's not like growing up as a person. You get tall as you're going to be. You don't ever have to change shoe sizes. Amen. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to buy longer jeans. You know what length you wear. Listen, growing as a Christian, you can continue to grow all the way through your life. You don't have to stop. And that's what God wants. As your faith grows, trust gets stronger and stronger in the Lord and what he's able to do. Just as a child goes from asking for simple things like a bottle or a pacifier and crying out for those little things when they're little, and then pretty soon they're sitting in front of a TV going, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. Or like we talked about on that cereal aisle, please, please. And then they move up to things like bicycles. Pretty soon they end up asking for stuff like motorcycles and cars and four-wheelers and stuff like that. And then they get on, then they go from that to asking big stuff like, can I marry her? Can I marry him? They begin to ask bigger things as life goes on. See, God wants you to grow too. God wants you to get out of the elementary school of prayer. He wants you to get into the graduate course, where you can seriously get some praying done. Amen? Hey, he wants you to get out of your hole. He wants you to come out into the light of his word and ask him for big things. Amen? That's what God wants from you. Amen? Listen, the man in the passage, he had the if in the wrong place. He said, if thou canst do anything. And Jesus said, uh-uh. No, it ain't if I can do anything. I can do all things. It's if you can believe. See, God is able. Are you able to believe that God is able? That's the question. Are you able to believe that God is able? Next, God's just given us some great power and powerful prayer promises. And I'm just going to give you one today. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians 3. I'm just going to share this one with you, and we're going to move on to something else, and we're going to wrap up. We'll be done here shortly. But I just want to share this one prayer promise, and I wish you would memorize it if you don't know it by heart. I wish you would hide this in your heart for the day that you need it. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. All right, the Bible says in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There's so much in those two verses right there. I could preach a whole message on it, but quickly, let me break it down for you. Listen, it's saying, now unto him be glory in the church. That's what it's saying. All right, it starts out, now unto him, and then it just goes on and just gives him a little praise. Amen. Now unto him that is able. Hey, now unto him be glory in the church. That's really and truly what it's all about. Okay? Understand that. That's what this is all about. It's about him getting the glory from his church. Now unto him be glory, hey, in the church. You know what the church is? Not this building. In the church. Who is the church? That's us. Now unto him be glory in us. Now unto him be glory in us. How? By Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages. That means from the time you get saved all the way up until the time you go to heaven. You ought to be giving him glory. World without end. Glory from here on out. Glory from that till the world's gone. Glory. Now let's look at him and what it says. He's able. I like that right there. He's able. Yeah, that's all I need to know, that God's able. Hey, are you able to handle that? Yes, God says I'm able. And he says, I'm not only able, but I'm able to do all that you can ask. So Lord says, hey, there's nothing you can ask me that's too big for me. There's nothing that you can think about that you can come up with in your little human mind that goes beyond my scope of being able to do something about it. Because, see, I made all things, and Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So there's nothing that we can find that God's not able to take care of, amen? Nothing is too hard for him, amen? And he says, he's able, and he says, listen, not only am I able, I'm abundantly able. So abundantly means more than usual. He's more than usually able to do all things. Amen? More than anybody's able to do all things. He's abundantly able to do all things. But not only that, he said, hey, not only am I abundantly able, but I'm exceeding abundantly able. I go far beyond greater than anybody else on this earth is able to do. I'm able to exceed that by leaps and bounds. Amen? And I'm able to do it, hey, listen, in you, in your life, in you, by my power to my glory. That's what God says. Hey, it's not about, get this through your head, it ain't about you. God wouldn't answer my prayer. I don't know if God loves me enough to do that. I just don't know if God would do this or that through me. Listen, if you got sin in your life, probably not. Amen? You got sin in your life, you need to confess it before God, and you need to repent of it, and you need to get it out of there. But when you get it out of there and you got a clean heart before God, listen to me, there's no reason in the world why you can't expect God to answer your prayers. Amen? Listen, there ain't nobody on this earth who's saved who doesn't mess up. Amen? There ain't a single one of us on this earth who don't fall short. So don't sit there thinking, well, I don't think God would ever do that for me because you just don't know prayer. You just don't know what kind of person I am. Well, I mess up all the time. Join the club. Don't think for one second God doesn't want to do something in your life because of you and who you are. He wants glory more than that. Amen? So that's why he tells us to pray for big things. Because God, listen to me, God likes to show his power. God likes to show off. God likes for man to step back and go, oh. God likes for man to go, wow. God likes for unbelievers to stand there and scratch their head and try to reason it out in science and can't figure out a way to understand it. God likes for that. God likes for people to have to scramble to come up with an explanation for how he did something. Yesterday, a good friend of mine, he asked for people to, he said, what's the most controversial position that you hold either philosophically or politically, and does it cause contention and strife in your families? So there were some other people putting stuff down. I said, the Word of God is my rule book. It is my guide. And by the way, I'm King James only. Well, that right there caused enough stir because all the atheists come out of the woodwork. Man, they started trying to tear me apart. I know I told them. I said, you know what? Because you don't believe, don't shut the door and cut the fire out. I can promise you that. Amen. You say, I don't believe in hell. They don't slam the door and turn the fire out. I promise you. You can say what you want to. Hey, they say, well, I can justify my intellectual thoughts with my experience, and that's what I believe in. I'll go right ahead. Hey, I got something that goes better than intellectual experience and all that good stuff. I got the Word of God. And in this book, God gives me promises that I have seen fulfilled in my life, and I don't have to have anybody give me any validation. I know it's real because I've seen it, and I've lived it. Amen. And since I know it, because I've lived it, because I've seen it, I ought to expect more of it. I ought to go back. Hey, I ought to go to the well more often. Amen. Listen, God is a prayer-answering God. And God wants you to pray for big things. Amen? Have we got that across this morning, that God wants you to pray for big things? Well, let's look at some examples of big prayers in the Bible. We ain't got time to do a whole bunch, so we're only going to do a couple. Number one, turn to Joshua chapter 10. We're only going to look at two this morning, but we're going to look at them. Joshua 10, 12 and 14, 12 through 14. Joshua. Somebody said, where's Joshua? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Amen. Vacation Bible school paid off for me. If I didn't learn anything else, I learned where the books are. Amen. Huh? Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 through 14. The Bible says, then spake Joshua to the Lord. So he's praying. In the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, now this is Joshua, he's a man of God, in the sight of everybody, he didn't go in the prayer closet, son, talking to the one in the sky, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun still. Well, that wasn't no big prayer, was it, Roger? You talk about a big prayer, man. God, make that sun stand still. And guess what? He did. And it did not go down for the space of a day. And it is recorded in here. Brother Tino Gropey, when he was here, and he did his dinosaur thing and giants, and he taught on geocentricity out at our home school. And geocentricity, for those of you who do remember, and maybe some of you don't remember, some of you weren't here, geocentricity is not taught today in America. Heliocentricity is, listen, heliocentricity is the belief that the earth rotates around the sun. Okay? Geocentricity says the earth sits still and everything else revolves around the earth, and everything else revolves inside of that system which revolves around the earth. And I certainly believe that's true. I don't believe the earth revolves around the sun. I believe the sun revolves around the earth, and the reason I do is because God's word said so. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Amen? God's word's God's word. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or you always thought that or whatever. Listen, there ain't no way you can prove it either way. How do you know? How do you know if you're flying through space, or how do you know if you're sitting still? You can't tell. Amen. Ain't none of us ever got out there and measured it. And if you got out there, how do you know? If you can sit on the sun, watch it. How do you know? Amen. Hey, listen, the only thing I have to go by is God's word, who made the universe. I think he knows, don't you? So all the scientists in the world and all the politicians and all the people in high places, they're all just a bunch of idiots if they argue with God. So he said, sun stand still, moon stand still, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. He said, hey, listen, this battle is going good, God. Hey, listen, we don't need to stop now. We're about to get these guys whooped. Make the day longer so we can whoop them all. Amen. Hey, the people that avenged themselves upon their enemies, is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Not only does the Bible tell us, but also in every nation, every culture on earth, in their, if they have a recorded history, and it goes back that far, there is records that the sun stood still. There is records on the other side of the earth where it was night for an extra day. Some places the sun hung at the horizon and did not go down, or the sunrise stopped and did not come up. All around the world, the same story is told. God's word. God's able. God answers big prayers. Now I want you to turn to 2 Kings. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. I want you to look at one of the cockiest prayers, I guess, that's ever been prayed in the Bible. I say cocky. I don't mean cocky like arrogant, but just bold, just brash, just out of nowhere, just wham. I want you to look. We're going to look in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 14, the story of Elijah and Elisha. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. By the way, two people went up pre-rapture, that style. First one, y'all remember? Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not, for the Lord took him. Amen. And then Elijah was to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. The Bible says that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, that's a bunch of young preachers, by the way, and preachers' boys, they came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. In other words, yeah, I know it. Shut up. That's what he said. Amen. A bunch of kids come running out there and say, hey, God's going to take Elijah. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. Amen. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. Wait here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho. Did I just read that? That said that again, didn't it? All right, the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came out to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered and said, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Shut up. Y'all quit telling me that. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. So Elijah and Elisha walk up to the edge of the Jordan River. About 50 men are standing back there watching them. And Elijah took his mantle. That was like a scarf thing that was over him. I really don't know how to describe it exactly, but he had his mantle. And he wrapped it together. And he smote the waters. Whop! Hit the Jordan River. And the Bible said, and they were divided hither and thither, here and there, so that they too went over on dry ground. Just like the Red Sea parted and opened up, God had let Elijah do it right there, the same thing. Whop! And it just divided. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I'll be taken away from thee. He was saying goodbye. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. All the power that God gave you over the course of your ministry, I want twice as much. Well, that was a bold prayer. Man, he'd been his master. He'd been the student, and he'd been the master, and he'd watched him and walk with him and went everywhere with him and learned from him. And he said, I want twice as much as you got. And he said, thou hast asked for a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. It grieved him so to see his master go. And he just took his clothes, just ripped them in half. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Now get what he did. And he went back, and he stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he wadded it up, and he smacked the waters. And he said, where's the God of Elijah? When he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Now look here. I want you to see this. The miracles of Elijah, the prophet. Number one, he was fed by ravens in 1 Kings 17, 1 through 6. And now we're going to turn to all these. We ain't got time. Number two, there was the situation of the widow's meal and the oil. that she was constantly able to have more and more of. It was replenished in 1 Kings 17:8-16. Then number three, there's her son who died, and he raised her son from the dead in chapter 17:17-23. Then there's Mount Carmel, where he defeats the prophets of Baal, and the fire comes down and licks up the sacrifice and all the water that's in the moat around it. That's in chapter 18:36-38. Then he was fed by an angel when he ran from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19:5-7. Then he called down fire to consume a captain and 50 men in 2 Kings 1:9-12. Then number seven, he divided the waters of Jordan. And then number eight, he went up by a whirlwind with a chariot of fire into heaven. Those are the eight miracles that took place during Elijah's ministry. So Elisha said, "Lord, give me a double portion of his spirit." Number one, he wadded up his mantle and he smacked the waters and it parted hither and thither and he went across. Number one. Number two, in 2 Kings 2:21-22, he healed the water with salt. Number three, in 2 Kings 2:23-25, bears tear 42 children for mocking the prophet. Number four, the country was filled with water, 2 Kings 3:16-20. Number five, the increase of the widow's oil who was about to starve to death in 2 Kings 4:1-7. In six, the birth of a son to the barren Shunammite woman, 2 Kings 4:8-17. Number seven, restores the life of the son of the Shunammite woman when he died, 2 Kings 4:18-37. He healed poison pottage. Amen. They'd made a pot of stew, and there was poison gourds in there. Amen. It would have killed them all, but he healed the pottage in 2 Kings 4:38-41. He fed 100 men with 20 loaves of bread, 2 Kings 4:42-44. Naaman the leper was healed, 2 Kings 5:1-19. He commanded the leprosy of Naaman to cleave to Gehazi, his servant, 2 Kings 5:20-27. He made a lost axe head float, 2 Kings 6:5-7. The eyes of the servant was opened. He saw horses and chariots of fire around Elisha, 2 Kings 6:13-17. He brings blindness on the Syrians, 2 Kings 6:18-20. God scatters the Syrians and fulfills Elisha's promise of food, 2 Kings 7:1-16. And number 16, which ended God, his prayer request, happened after he had already died. A man was brought to life by touching his bones. He prayed, "God, give me a double portion. I want twice as much as you gave him." And God answered his prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a feeling that up in heaven, when Elisha asked, "I want a double portion," I have a feeling the Lord said, "That's wonderful." Why? That's twice as much opportunity for me to get the glory in his life. Amen. It wasn't about Elisha being great. It was about God being glorified. Listen, don't you know it pleased the Lord? Don't you know the Lord looked upon Elisha like a proud daddy looks on his son when he does something great? When Elisha just took that mantle and he didn't ask questions, he just wadded it up and he walked up there and he said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" God said, "Here I am. Here I am." And those 50 men stood back and went, "Wow, God's awesome." Amen. I'm going to share this last one and we'll go in the house. There's the story of the widow and the oil. I want you to turn to 2 Kings 4:1-7, and we'll close with this one. 2 Kings 4:1-7. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." See, he owed a lot of money. He still had debts he had to pay. And she couldn't declare bankruptcy, amen. So the man that he owed the money to, he said, well, I'm just going to come get your two sons, and they'll be my slaves until they pay it off. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. She had a little pot of olive oil. And then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Get a whole bunch of them. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said, there's not a vessel more, not no more. And the oil stayed, for the oil stopped flowing. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now let me ask you a question. How much oil did God send the widow? As much as she had vessels for. Can I ask you a question? Why didn't she stop getting vessels? Why didn't she just keep getting vessels? Why didn't she just keep borrowing? She would have had an unlimited supply of oil as long as she kept borrowing vessels. Can I tell you something? Does anybody here know what oil represents in the Bible? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen? God wants to pour His Spirit into a vessel that will empty itself. Can I tell you that that's a picture? If you and I will continuously empty ourselves and ask God to pour His power into us, God will continually pour His power into us. But when we get to the point where we think we've got enough, He cuts it off. Can I say something to you today? You'll never get more from God than you ask for. What have you been praying for? How is your prayer life? Is it what it ought to be? Is it all it can be? And if not, why not? And I know you probably sit there this morning, you know what, my prayer life is going to get better. When? When are you going to take responsibility for how anemic it is and seriously get on your knees before God and go to praying? You'll never get more than you take a bite of. Amen? Hey, that's why I said you get little bites because you take little bites. Amen? You don't get much because you don't ask for much. Hey, you have not because you ask not. Listen to me. God gets glory when He answers our prayers. He wants glory. Make yourself a living testimony to God's awesome power. Ask for big things. John 16:24 says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Have you been asking God for big things? Have you asked God for things you really need? Have you poured it all out? Are you praying like you should? Let me tell you something. We're about to have an invitation. I'd come this morning, and I'd bring those heavy things on my heart to God, and I'd pour them out. Oh, I'd pour them out. Come and ask God for things you've always wanted to but are afraid to. I urge you. Let's stand together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, Lord God, I pray that folks right now wouldn't be thinking about leaving and going home, but they'd be thinking about doing business with Thee. Father in heaven, there are requests. There are things that we need. There are things that burden us greatly. There are things that we've got to have, and we can only get them from Thee. And Father, I pray this morning that we would come.